We were covered in almost every single national publication, from the New York Times, the LA Times, to the Wall Street Journal, about our private educator program. Amidst all of that, we're also in the situation where everyone needs childcare. So it's been an incredible busy time since then, and families just need help.
This is the Motherbird Podcast. I'm Mia Sable-Hayes, and this season is all about Los Angeles school admissions. I'll be talking with guests from the preschool and primary school admissions worlds of one of the biggest, most diverse, and crazy competitive cities in the world. Whether you're touring schools while pregnant or rushing to catch up in time for the deadline, I want to help you get to know the people behind the programs you'll want to know about. Today, our guest is Katie Provinziano, founder of Westside Nannies, a premier nanny agency in Beverly Hills serving the Los Angeles area. Coming up, you'll find out more about the plethora of arrangements families are creating for themselves and in pods with other families to manage their childcare plus education at home. We break down the costs, comparisons, expectations, and even how to go about making a change in caregivers. I'm so excited to share this info with you. So here we go.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Mia. I'm so excited to be on here and talk to all these moms and dads who are listening. My name is Katie Provinziano. I am the founder and CEO of Westside Nannies. And my story is a little interesting. I guess you could say I've been in childcare for a very long time. I'm the oldest of six kids. So it came right away. It was just part of my childhood, was taking care of my siblings and helping my mom, who was an amazing example. And as soon, I remember counting down the days until I turned 12, which is when I was growing up, you could take the Red Cross babysitter's course.
Oh, yeah.
And did you take it too?
I did too, yeah.
It was so fun. I loved it. And I just babysat throughout my whole teenage years. A neighborhood babysitter, absolutely loved working with kids. And when I went to college, I went to Pepperdine here in Malibu in LA. And I worked with an incredible family in the Pacific Palisades, working mom and dad, and worked as their full-time nanny to pay my way through school. And I absolutely loved it. Now, I had originally gone to school to be a lawyer. And so glad I did not do that and instead found my true passion, which is really connecting families and nannies and forming those relationships that then have such an incredible impact on families and children. So I was at Pepperdine and started Westside Nannies my junior year. And
oh,
so
wow.
You can imagine I was working full time. I was going to school full time. I was interviewing nannies at Starbucks, talking to families at night about their hopes and dreams for their nanny. And a couple months in, we were picked up by Entertainment Tonight and put on the map.
Wow.
And didn't stop ringing. So 16 years later, things have changed quite a bit. We now have a team of 8 here at our office and have helped thousands of families and nannies find each other over the years.
That's incredible. I mean, I'm sure, you know, since you worked in, you know, even then, I'm sure people were like, oh, you know, we need help. Like, I mean, this is one of those things that until you're in this position, you don't quite understand the gravity of it.
Absolutely.
That yeah. you're going to hire somebody. You're going to have them help raise your child.
There's so much trust that you put into, in some ways, a complete stranger. And there's a lot of responsibility that we carry as we're vetting potential candidates, as we're meeting people. You know, a lot of the women on our team are moms with kids, just like me now, as a mom of 2 boys. And you really understand the gravity of what you're doing when you're referring someone to take care of a child. It's a family's most precious thing in their life, and you have to make sure it's the right fit.
Totally. Yeah. So you started Westside Nannies, and then fast forward to this most strange time that we're in. Families have been sent scrambling to figure out, reconfigure everything in terms of childcare and what works with, you know, who they're working with or who they need. Everyone's getting pregnant, having more babies. Schools are closed. There is just endless factors coming into play. So what has that been like for you guys on the staffing side? What have you been seeing or hearing? What was it like to take that from your side?
Last year, 2020, was absolutely wild. I can't even describe it. I would say that, so going back to what was in March when this all started happening, and I said, oh, it's not something. This is just a blip. You know, nothing's going to happen. And then there was just a point where I feel like everything stopped. Everyone stopped. Everything stopped. All business stopped. And everyone just said, you know what, we're going to hunker down and just wait this out. And I think everyone thought, including me, that this would be like, oh, maybe a month, couple weeks, and then we would just be done. No one could have ever told me that we'd be here still in the same place. And so from a business perspective for Westside Nannies, you know, there was a point where everything just stopped. Our phone didn't ring and we were really worried. And then we started to see the writing on the wall that schools were not going to be going back into in-person learning. And our team quickly pivoted and we said, you know, our clients are going to need help throughout this. And we started to receive calls from parents that were really worried about their children falling behind academically, and they were already starting to witness that. And as best as the schools have done trying to turn everything around quickly with remote learning, it was something the schools were really learning how to do too, and the teachers as well. And for a lot of families, it really just wasn't working. So we quickly pivoted and really ramped up our private educator program, which wasn't new to us. We have placed private educators over the years, but it was something that was more rare. For example, a celebrity filming a movie on location in Australia, and they needed to have a private teacher come with them and homeschool their child, or an artist doing an around the world tour. And so it was really like unique, rare circumstances that families would come to us and hire a private teacher. But we noticed that there would be a lot of families, everyday families like you and me, that would need some extra support in the educational piece. So we began interviewing and recruiting and vetting teachers and tutors and nannies that had teaching experience to help families during this time. And our business took off during the pandemic, and our phone didn't stop ringing. Once we kind of let our clients know that this was a service we were really focusing on and providing, we were covered in almost every single national publication, from the New York Times, the LA Times, to the Wall Street Journal, about our private educator program. And then in amidst all of that, we're also in a childcare, the situation where everyone needs childcare. You know, families used to use daycares, they used to use grandparents, they used to have, you know, pods that would pool care. And all of that really stopped too. A lot of parents were no longer comfortable with care in group settings. Grandparents were no longer comfortable visiting, and everyone needed to figure out a childcare solution. So it's been an incredible busy time since then, and families just need help. Our phone has not stopped ringing. I do not anticipate that it will slow down anytime soon. We're having the busiest time we've ever had.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. I was telling you this earlier when we were talking before, but just, I've been on so many text threads with all of my friends, just all the way back from, you know, March and April to summer to fall. As the outlook keeps changing, we keep saying, okay, what's the new plan? But what if this happens? How are we going to pivot? And figuring out, you know, what are we going to do? And there's this convergence of childcare and education that, you know, I guess, you know, many people took for granted before, or just it didn't have to be a focus, where school was also your childcare for many, you know, for school age children and preschool age children. And then now you've got both pieces that are you're juggling suddenly on your own in many cases.
Well, and I think it's hitting the working parents the hardest, because, you know, we still have to do our jobs. We may be working from home, which, by the way, is so much harder.
Oh, yeah.
You're a parent, you work at home. My single friends are like, oh, this is great. This is fine. And it's like, you obviously don't have kids, because working from home is very hard. But, you know, we're still expected to perform at our jobs. Mm-hmm. And yet we also have our kids at home. There's no school. It's just really a challenging time for so many families.
Totally. Yeah. So I wanted to dive deeper with you on the topic of things education related, because that's really the focus of this season of my podcast, is we're talking about what is possible, what the choices are in the education world. And this is really just blown wide open now to so many more options. And I wanted to ask you if you could kind of take me through the different types of positions. I've heard a lot of different terms thrown around. I've heard educated nannies, tutors, homeschool teachers, governess. What are these different roles, and what's the same? What's different? Where does it, how does it work?
That's a great question. And I think it's a little bit new too, because this is not, you know, this is an industry that has really evolved overnight to fill a need, really, for families in a way that it hasn't before. The term we're using and the term that the industry has really adopted is called private educator. But I think that term is really broad, because it can include actual teachers that are, you know, have experience teaching in the private or public school setting. It can include tutors, or it can also include nannies that have an educational background. So I think the term is quite broad, and we're placing experienced teachers who are designing curriculums for the children. And we're also placing nannies who have a passion for education who are overseeing distance learning. So I think that it's quite a broad spectrum. The term governess is a little antiquated, but I think it really means someone who provides childcare with an educational focus in mind. So we still place, I guess you would call them quote unquote governesses, but we call them just amazing nannies who provide care for the children, but also really do their best to infuse education into what they do. While they're on a walk, can we look at the different flowers that are around? Can we teach math through a game of hopscotch? Like, how can we incorporate learning and development through everyday play? And those nannies are always in demand.
Right. Yes. As I was mentioning, we really lucked out. Our nanny happens to be one of those kinds of nannies who has an educational background and is very interested in the developmental piece. And I have felt so afraid of losing her for any reason this whole time, because she's such a gem. And also, I mean, I think of all of my friends who, you know, we all chose our nannies differently to meet different needs in the prior circumstance. But now, let me see, how can I say this? So when I hear moms looking for nannies, they're looking for childcare. Now they're looking for an education piece. And this piece with helping to some degree with, like, whether it's cooking or cleaning comes up a lot too. So can this all be one person, or is this multiple people? How is it? How should it be? What could it be?
I would say it depends. It depends on so many factors. For the most part, we tell families that you can expect your nanny to help with any child-related housekeeping. So what does that look like? It looks like your nanny should be able to prepare snacks and meals for your child and clean up after those meals, do the dishes, wipe down the countertops, make sure it's clean after she made the children or child lunch, do the children's laundry, and make sure their play areas and their rooms are clean and tidy. Most times, your professional nanny will not want to scrub the floors or clean the bathrooms. That's kind of where they draw the line.
Right.
So okay. We try to think of it as what is child related, and then that's really the nanny's domain. So we would suggest to most families that they hire a nanny and then get a housekeeper to come in once a week to do the deep cleaning, and then have their nanny help them keeping it up throughout the week. Putting the toys away, organizing, doing the children's laundry. Mom, dad, you might have to do your own laundry or have that housekeeper do it. But that's really kind of where the duties fall into place.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's one of those things that you realize when you're trying to come up with this job description. It also, as a mom, makes you realize how much is on our shoulders, too.
100%. Oh, my goodness.
Because we do all these things. We pick up all of this, you know, we juggle all these balls. And so then you're looking for someone to step in for you in this way. And that's really, it's hard to parse out what pieces can you actually ask of another person and what should that cost?
And you can ask anything of another person. You just have to find the right person who wants that job. And I think that, you know, sometimes if you have someone that's great at cleaning, I often ask parents who request that, like, do you think you could clean a bathroom and engage with your toddler? Like, that would be really challenging. I mean, I couldn't do that. So which is more important to you? And for some families and for some moms, that cleaning aspect, we discover, really is that most important piece, because she wants to be doing, you know, all the fun things, and really just needs help with all that other stuff that she doesn't want to do. And that's okay. You just need to hire a different person, and that may be a full-time housekeeper. So we talk with families and work with them to really discover, what are your pain points? What do you really need support with? And we do put together a lot of hybrid roles. So I won't say that all a nanny can do ever is just take care of and engage your children. One of our most popular positions right now, and has been for a while, is actually we call it a nanny slash family assistant, or just a family assistant. And this is someone that will take care of the kids, but will also do grocery shopping, run errands, keep everything organized, order things for you if you're running low on, you know, dish soap or whatever, and just kind of help with all the things that are probably taking over your weekends. So that's another really helpful combo. So nannies aren't only one thing. It's just finding the right person and really creating a job description that will appeal to someone. And we help with that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, the way that you put it, and I could see how that would be really helpful to have guidance in figuring out what your family's individual pain points are, like you said, and who the right person would be for that. Because I know a lot of times we're on the mom chat boards, we're all saying, oh, I need a nanny. Who needs a nanny? I have a nanny. You know, like, let me recommend my person. And sometimes that works out and that's great. I've definitely found other moms where we realize we like the same kind of babysitter. And then we're like, okay, you and me, we can talk babysitters, but it's not the same for everybody. Everybody needs something different. Everyone expects something different. So it's good to kind of nail down what that is before you just start trying people on in your house.
It is. Well, and now that you brought it up, I do want to address the mom boards, because they can be great for finding referrals. And I think finding a referral is amazing, but I think all too often, moms trust another mom so much that they lose sight of doing due diligence. And that's where we see people really get into trouble and some unfortunate things happen. And so I would say that if you are getting names through mom boards, even if it's a friend of yours that you know very well, do your due diligence, do your background check, contact those references, ask them probing questions, do some social media and online research to make sure those references are who they say they are. Get them fingerprinted, register them with Trustline. There are a lot of things that you can do. By the way, these are all things that we do, and we don't have the secret sauce. It just takes work. It just takes time. But you shouldn't scrimp on those things because someone can recommend someone, but you have to check them out yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Can you tell me more about the ballpark salaries and hourly wages that would be typical with these different types of roles that we were discussing? Because that's always also a really big question. It's hard to ask other people what they're paying.
That is accurate, right?
So what is the normal range, and how does it depend on what you need help with?
Okay, so it's a huge range. First of all, let me say that. For private educators, we're talking about teachers here. You have to think about, you know, they are choosing to work with you versus a school. And for example, the public school system has a great program. You're gaining tenure, you're having benefits. And so for them to choose a private family over a school, it has to make sense for them economically. And they have to take into consideration the tenure that they're losing by stepping out of that system.
Right.
Does that make sense? Well, if you're hiring a teacher that is teaching in the public schools and has that background, on average, we're seeing $40 to $60 an hour, but it goes up to, we've seen $100 an hour for these individuals. If they are highly qualified, if they specialize in anything specific, we have some math specialists, reading and writing specialists, and if they are working with your family, they'll command a much higher rate.
And with those types of educators, is that, would they be more likely someone you would bring in for an hour or a little bit of time rather than, or would they run a whole school day, like run a school day for your kids from, I don't know, like 9 to 3 or something?
Well, it's hard because every parent wants that to be for an hour, but because that would be amazing. I would do that too. That'd be so nice to just have like a reading specialist come in for an hour and a math specialist. But most of these people are giving up a full-time job. So they want a full-time job. So they want to have that whole day. They want to make up their entire income.
So we're talking $40 to $100-ish an hour for a pretty full-time position. This is something that a friend of mine and I, we were like specking this all out like last summer. We were trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to have to pay someone to be exclusive to us? So that, because, you know, with COVID, we didn't want them to have, you know, five different families to cobble together a job, even if they were willing to do so, you know, and there's all these factors, the math. And you realize that even if you could pay your teacher, your preschool teacher, more hourly than she typically makes, like you said, she's giving up a tenure, a relationship in a longer term job, maybe healthcare, all of these things.
Well, and if you think about it, in a traditional school, you are pooling your resources, right? With all these other families who are paying tuition to pay for those teachers. Same as in a daycare, when families look at the cost of daycare versus a nanny, you know, hiring a nanny is the most expensive form of childcare, because in a daycare, you're paying that salary with 20 other people, and it's much less expensive. So these types of care are really quite expensive.
So, and then the wage we have, we went over that for the private educator. How would you say that is different from a nanny who just can help oversee education? Like, let's say I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I don't feel like I need a proper teacher necessarily this year, but I do want my kids to receive some sort of enriched experience.
I think it depends on a couple of factors, because it's not, here's the rate, that's what it is. You know, just as you and I go after different opportunities based upon our qualifications and experience, the same is true for nannies. So a lot of times the rate will be determined by his or her experience, their education, and some other factors, including the kind of job that they're going up for, the number of children in the job, the schedule, the hours, whether the hours are more desirable or less desirable, whether there's flexibility that's required, whether they need to be able to travel. So much goes into it. And that's where an agency can really sit down with you and help you develop the appropriate rate for your position to attract the type of candidate that you want to hire. But in general, I would say that in Los Angeles, nannies are earning about 25 to 30 an hour, some up to 35 an hour, some more. But I would say that 25 to 30 right now in the current climate is where most of the jobs are ending up.
And would you say that's for like one child, two children average, or?
1 to 2 children on average.
Yeah. Okay. So then what type of arrangements are you seeing? What type of arrangements are you seeing for homeschooling families right now, if they have children across a span of developmental ages, for example, someone with a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 9-year-old all in the same house, you've got sort of like a wide range there. How are families arranging that when it comes to private educators?
In that scenario, I probably recommend someone hire a nanny that has a background in teaching, because she could come in and work with the older students, get them set up, make sure everything's working, solve any technological problems, and just make sure that they are learning. And then during that time, she would engage with the toddler, make lunch, make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then after school, she would get them outside, have some physical activity, do some arts and crafts projects perhaps, and just keep them engaged in after school activities at home, right? Because we really can't go anywhere right now. And then get them close to dinner time when parents are probably coming home. So that's probably most likely what we would recommend, is a nanny that's experienced with children with multiple ages and has worked with multiple children at one time and doesn't mind a very busy household.
And what would you suggest if someone, I know a lot of people are pregnant right now or just having babies, and babies require a lot of specific care. Well, some of them are very chill. Mine wasn't. But I guess it could go either way. I mean, you could have a baby that needs a lot of attention and special care and diapering all the time. And then at the same time, you have maybe a 4-year-old that's talking nonstop and needing to be engaged with. How do you
How do you do that?
How do you find a person that can bridge the whole thing? As parents, we're struggling to say how we bridge this ourselves.
For every mom that's pregnant, what I truly recommend is hiring a newborn care specialist. A lot of the times in the past, these might be called baby nurses or night nurses. This is what I suggest to my friends: hire a newborn care specialist to help you at night. It makes all the difference in you really enjoying those first few months, or you feeling like an absolute zombie the entire time. Because, you know, sleep is so important for everyone, especially when you're a new mom recovering from birth or a C-section. And it's really hard and it's really emotional, and no one tells you that going into it. You know, you see everyone's beautiful pictures on Instagram of their babies, and, you know, no one posts the hard stuff. And it is really a hard time. And I think lack of sleep can also lead to postpartum depression, and it makes such an impact in how you feel. So a newborn care specialist is someone who will come in and she will work overnight. You know, common shifts are from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. and she'll usually sleep on a cot in the baby's room. And if you're breastfeeding, she'll bring the baby to you. And, you know, if you think about it, breastfeeding may only take 20 minutes, but it's getting the baby up, breastfeeding them, and then doing any pumping or taking the baby back and doing a diaper change and re-swaddling and burping. And that whole thing takes about an hour. And then you finally get back to sleep, and then you have to do it all over again all throughout the night. So I know it's an expensive thing. If budget allows for it, that's what I recommend. And I typically recommend having help at night for the first 8 weeks at least, ideally up to 16, because that's at the point where most babies are sleeping through the night 12 hours. And if you have a great newborn care specialist at 16 weeks, they can be sleeping through the night, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and you've been able to enjoy all the time during the day with your baby. I think it's so much more important to have that if you have another child, because then all of a sudden you can't sleep when the baby sleeps, quote unquote. You have another child, a toddler, that needs your attention, and, you know, even more so during that time when you have a new baby entering the house. So for me, I would sell a car if it meant helping me. Like, no joke, that's what I would do. So that would be my recommendation for new moms.
That is a strong recommendation. So just to break that down, though, so we've got a private educator is doing school work, teacher's work. A baby nurse is good at infant baby stuff. A nanny could possibly supervise this whole range, but they wouldn't be your teacher. They wouldn't be your, like, curriculum creating teacher. That would be maybe if your older child had a curriculum online or was part of a program they were already doing, then maybe this nanny could bounce your baby while turning on Zoom for your four-year-old.
Yes, absolutely. I think if you hire the right nanny and you can find someone with these different skill sets, they can be great with infants or they can be great with distance learning. It's really just finding the right person. A newborn care specialist is somewhat different because they work with babies overnight and they do it again and again and again. So their experience and knowledge is always fresh. And many have a lot of certifications and a lot of knowledge just about that 0 to 6 month infant stage. So that's something different. Most nannies won't sleep at night with your baby and get up with them. That's a really specialized job. But nannies can absolutely help with distance learning. Absolutely. You don't necessarily need a teacher. If you have a curriculum with your school, you feel like your child understands it, nothing's slipping, and you need someone to manage that experience.
Okay. So then with your private educator, it would be inappropriate to hand them your newborn.
They probably wouldn't know what to do. They don't have any experience with anyone under that age group. So I think it's so important to hire someone for the age group that has experience with the age group that you have.
Yes, yes. That's a key vetting thing there. That, right. You know, when we, for a while, our nanny had gone, she had just graduated, where we were suddenly interviewing people, and I had a 2.5 years old. And I realized, wow, this is a very specific age to find someone who's got this experience, toddler experience versus baby experience and versus older kid experience. And you could tell right away with people if they only knew how to, you know, let's play a game. It's like, nope, she's 2.5.
No, she can't do Monopoly. Sorry. I think that's why interview questions are so important. You know, really asking the specific questions. A lot of parents talk way too much in the interview, and your goal should be to listen more than you talk. Listen to what they're saying. Ask them questions. Hear about their reasoning. What are you going to do when my 2-year-old throws a tantrum and won't get dressed or won't walk out the door? How do you respond to that? Give me some examples of some activities that you would plan for my daughter. So you really need to ask a lot of questions, spend more time. I'm always shocked by the number of interviews that are like 10 minutes. Like, that is not enough time to get to know someone. You wouldn't only spend 10 minutes on a date, and yet you're hiring someone, you're interviewing them to potentially care for your children, one of the most trusted jobs of all time. So you just really need to spend time getting to know someone and asking the right questions.
That's such a good point. And I think I could see a lot of that too short interview thing coming from just feeling awkward.
Sure, it is awkward.
I was saying before, you know, a lot of times when you become a mom, this might be the first person you've ever hired. If you have never run your own business or, you know, had to hire help for your house before, depending on, you know, your age and circumstances and your job and everything, this could be the first time you've ever hired a person. And it's awkward. It feels a little bit weird when you've never done it before and you don't know how to ask the questions.
That's still awkward for a lot of people, honestly. Yeah. Yes, and you know, it can also feel awkward because it's not like you're hiring an assistant at your office. It's very personal. It's, you know, it's a personal job. They're in your home. They see everything. They probably know when you're having a bad day or had a fight with your husband. And so it is a job, and yet it's so personal. And yet you have to have boundaries, because now all of a sudden you've hired someone and you are their workplace, you know, and you can't walk around naked and you can't put your underwear on the floor. Like, they deserve to have a clean workspace. So you do have to think about things differently when you hire someone in your home, and you have employer obligations that a lot of people don't think about. You know, you need to put this person on payroll. You have some forms to fill out. And so, especially if it's your first time, working with an agency can really walk you through what your responsibilities as a household employer are, and refer you to great payroll services or even attorneys if you need some help. But you kind of need some support. And you can do that research on your own, or you can work with an agency that can help you through it.
It's time to take a quick break to thank you for checking out the Motherbird podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Motherbird LA to chat about what's on your mind when it comes to navigating the abundance of responsibility that is your life now. But hey, whether you're hungry for more research or ready to finally decompress, I've got something else for you. Audible is the app that helps me make time to read books, because now I can be reading while I'm cooking, shopping, waiting in line, working out, taking a bath, or trying to get back to sleep, all the while being gloriously hands-free. They've got all the parenting, self-help, and healthy living books that you told yourself you would get around to, and all the celebrity memoirs, romance novels, and thrillers you might need for a quick escape. I just finished The Meaning of Mariah Carey, which I loved and never, ever would have otherwise found a minute for. Audible also lets me be that mom who can throw out a child development author reference in conversation. But hey, now you have my secret. Visit audibletrial.com/motherbird to get one free credit, which is like one free audiobook that you get to keep, or 2 credits if you're an Amazon Prime member. And just know that when you use our special Motherbird link, it helps fund the making of the Motherbird podcast. Sounds like a win-win. So again, it's Audible, audibletrial.com/motherbird.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the payroll thing? I know this comes up a lot. It's very like one of those like secret conversations people have and they're not sure how to even address it. But why would be the reasons, what would be the reasons that you would advocate for payroll, both for the nanny and for the family? What are the benefits to the family as well?
There are so many benefits to both sides. I mean, I think there was nothing that demonstrated this any better than the pandemic. You know, so many families had to let their nannies go. just because they couldn't afford it, or they didn't feel safe. And so many caregivers weren't even able to go on unemployment because they weren't paid legally, or their unemployment was held up for months and months and months, leaving them really in a hard place. And they will get paid eventually, and those families could face repercussions and even fines for not having done it correctly. So I think it really came to light both in the consequences for employers not doing it correctly, and also the devastating consequences of caregivers. Basic rights that we're used to here in the United States, unemployment if you were let go through no fault of your own, and disability if you get injured on the job. There are so many reasons why we all want to be paid legally, right? But I think it sounds very scary, and it sounds like a lot of work to a lot of parents. And it's so much easier to just Venmo your nanny, right? I mean, yeah. We're Venmoing everyone. Let's just Venmo her. But really, it's really not that hard. There are amazing payroll services that literally do all the paperwork and do it all for you. And you know that it's being done correctly, that your nanny is doing things like paying into Social Security and taking her taxes out. And it's just so easy that I think a lot of people put it off because they think it's hard.
Yeah.
So it definitely benefits the employer. It protects the employer a lot, because if you're not doing it, you are doing something that is illegal. And if you're caught, there could be repercussions. And another thing that people don't really think about, because it doesn't apply to everyone, but if you're in a professional career and have a license, you know, like being a doctor or a lawyer, if you want to go into politics someday, like, you need to be on the up and up, and that includes paying your taxes. And this is just part of it, and it shouldn't be scary, and we can help you through it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so did your company actually manage payroll too, or do you outsource that?
We don't. We have a couple partners that we work with that we refer people to, and it's literally a seamless process. And you sign up, they do all the paperwork for you, and you put in their hours, or you can even set up and say, she always works 40 hours a week. That's what it is. And then every week or 2 weeks, however you set it up, the money will come from your account. We'll go into your nanny's account. She'll get a pay stub. Taxes will be taken out and magically sent where they're supposed to go. And it just works really seamlessly.
Yeah, I think that can be so helpful. I mean, I think we learned this by, like, just trial and error with the first person we had hired when my daughter was a baby, because we just didn't know. It was just sheer ignorance. We thought it was like hiring a babysitter in the olden days. And like, when tax time came around, we suddenly were all confused, because we had like a dependent care account, and like there was like employer taxes, and we were had this whole like roundabout with like her tax person and our tax person. And we were trying to figure out, wait, who owes what and how and why. And then we realized, okay, all right, this is how this is done. We can just sign up, with one of these, providers, and they'll just do it for us.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it's absolutely true that a lot of parents just don't know. And, you know, it's like a diet. You can always start new tomorrow. And I think it's the same with payroll companies. Contact them. Let's say, you know, I wasn't aware I was supposed to do this. Can I catch up, or can I correct this? And they can actually do that for you and make it a pretty seamless process.
Yeah. Important stuff. One more thing for moms to learn and manage. Just one more thing they didn't put in what to expect while you're expecting. Payroll.
Yeah.
It's a thing you do now.
But, you know, you mentioned it, and I just want to go back to that. There are some tax benefits to it that you may qualify for, depending on your situation. So, no, it could be helpful.
Good to know all the tax breaks. Any little bit helps.
And I think the other thing that I don't think people ever talk about, but I know, is it also makes nannies feel professional. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel like this is a real job. I get a paycheck. I have a pay stub. This is real. I can go apply for a mortgage or get a car loan. Yeah. It's just being a professional person. And I think that it does make them walk taller, knowing that you, the parents, see them as a professional and are paying them as a professional. And I think that makes a difference in longevity and just the professionalism that they have towards their job.
Yeah, it's hard to see it at the outset sometimes when you're just hiring somebody. But it, down the road, you know, like we said, this is a real position of gravity. And I mean, I will love my current nanny forever. Like, I will give her a recommendation for the rest of her life for like anything, because she got us through this pandemic. You know, you're hiring someone that you want to be able to rely on, that can become, in many ways, you know, part of your family and your children's lives in a really special way. So I think, yeah, it's all stuff to take into consideration when you're thinking about the finances of it as well. So getting back to the, let me see, the education mix. So let's say somebody already had a nanny before COVID, and this is not a person who was in any way responsible for anything educational. And now this is a whole new scenario. How would you suggest to them that they should evaluate whether they still have the right person for their family right now, or whether they should make a change? You know, if they can only have one employee, which is the case for most families, I would say.
That's a really good question. A lot of nannies can help with distance learning. So I think it depends a little bit what your setup is. If your school has a good program and you just really need someone to facilitate and supervise it, most nannies should be able to do that. Some might need more training than others, but the things that we're looking for is they need to be a little bit tech savvy. They need to be able to read, write, and speak English. They'd be able to read a manual to be able to read the homework. They need to be able to troubleshoot if there's a tech problem. So you have to be a little savvy. And then I think an important part is they need to be someone who can tell if concepts are clicking or not, because you need to know what to work on or what your child is having difficulty with. And they need to be able to communicate to you, the parent, and also to the teacher. And if it's an older child, to really understand and make sure that they also understand what's required of that student homework-wise and keep track of it. So it's a little tech savviness, a good communicator, team player, and someone who has an organizational knack and can make sure that everything is getting done.
And let's say right about now you're listening to this and you're saying, oh no, I love who I have, but that is not her or him. That's not him or her at all. That's, we hired for a different set of skills and this is a new situation. How should families transition from one nanny to maybe the next kind of caregiver?
Well, I will say that for most families, the person that you hire for an infant is probably not the same person that you need when your children are in elementary school. It can be, and you can have those unicorns that just grow with your family and adjust their skill set as the kids grow, and that's always the ideal, but a lot of times that's not the case. When you have a newborn, you might hire someone that's just warm and maternal and will just cuddle and love on that baby. And then as your children get older, you may want someone who's more focused on that age group and, you know, can go out and play soccer and do all these other things. So it's really, I would say, normal to have a change and to feel like your needs have changed. And so I think that's okay. So first of all, mom should say that's okay. My needs have changed. And ultimately, hiring a nanny or any employee at all is about you and your needs. So first, I just want to say that if that's you, that's okay. And you need to do what is best for your family if you feel like your current nanny isn't really who you actually need looking forward. And so I always suggest treating people as you would want to be treated in that same situation. Give them the dignity of having that conversation in advance if possible, so they can get started on looking for their next job. Give them an excellent recommendation letter, connect them with an agency like ours. A lot of parents will contact us and say, I have this amazing nanny. I really wanted to help her work with Westside Nannies. And if you can help her find her a job, I'll give her my highest recommendation. And just begin that search yourself. If you don't feel like you can give that notice, then really consider giving someone a severance so that it can tide them over until they find their next opportunity. But make the change, because it's really important you have the right person in your home, on your team for the long haul, and looking forward.
Yeah, that's good to know. And I think that would be a great thing to do for your nanny if you know you need to move on, or even just with the pandemic, a lot of families are moving suddenly. And then that might be a reason that this nanny is not coming with you, but you might be able to refer them to Westside Nannies or somewhere that they can, you can help great people keep moving forward.
Absolutely. We are always looking for amazing caregivers. So if you have a nanny, you're listening to this and you say, my nanny, I need to connect this person with Westside Nannies, have them apply on our website. And we are always looking for exceptional people.
So I guess going back to different kinds of arrangements families are doing now, for families looking to create a homeschool pod with maybe one or a few families together, what kinds of arrangements are they doing? Have you helped with any families hiring an educator for a group of children together?
We have. We have placed educators with a number of pods, and it has worked really well. I would say that most of the time we see about 3 to 5 families with children in the same grade forming a pod. I think that you have to be really organized to do this and do it right. You need to get some legal counsel to understand what legal obligations you have. Right now, we're referring families to a wonderful, also mom and lawyer named Lisa Pearson Weinerberger. And she's creating agreements and contracts for families that are doing pods that not only are they signing with the teacher that they're employing, but also amongst each other. Because you have to have a commitment to each other. These are the things we're abiding by as members of the pod. And you have to really plan ahead and think through the different scenarios. You know, what are you going to do if a child is sick? What is the protocol going to be if someone has been exposed that's in the pod, exposed to COVID? What if your teacher's been exposed to someone who has COVID? Then what does everyone do? What if one of the children in the pod wants to drop out? Then how will that adjust things and how will you change things? Will the other parents then have to pay more to meet the salary requirement of the educator? So there are a lot of factors that you have to consider. But if you find people that are really on the same page that you trust, then it can work really well. And we place a number of people in pods, and it's been great. And it does defray that cost because you're pooling your resources. So now it's not $60 an hour. It's, you know, 10 because there's 6 students in the pod, for example.
And so are families doing this all at one person's house, or could they like split it between 2 homes? I know none of us were ever thinking we'd be starting a backyard school. But nope. When you're starting a pod, one of the big questions is, well, whose house is this going to be at? And what will the teacher agree to? You know, what will a teacher do?
We've seen both. It tends to work better if it's in one place all the time because everyone gets used to that. The kids get used to it. A lot of the pods are outdoors. Fortunately, we live in Southern California, so a lot of the pods are outdoors, and that's nice also just for safety as well. We have seen some that move around to different houses. You know, Monday and Tuesday are here, Wednesday and Thursday are there. But our recommendation is to find one place and stick with it because you have a lot of supplies too. People don't think about that. You have a lot of stuff, you know, think about what's in a classroom. Now you're making that your backyard. So it's quite a job to move it around.
That makes sense. That makes sense. so many things.
So much to think about. And yet you still have all your other stuff too.
Oh my gosh. So with families who have higher levels of concern over COVID that are very sensitive to, you know, the PPE, what is standard or what is allowed right now? What can you ask of your in-home caregiver or your private educator? Like, can you require them to wear a mask? Can you require them to test regularly? How are people doing this?
You can. You can do all those things. There's a lot more leeway right now around what you can ask and what you can require. But I think what we remind people of is you have to find someone that shares the same beliefs you do, because you never want to be in a position where you're making someone do something that they don't agree with. You don't want to be the person who is making someone wear a mask that doesn't want to wear a mask. You want to hire someone that is at the same wavelength as you. And so one of the things we're using is a COVID risk tolerance scale that really is a scale from 1 to 5 and rates someone's risk tolerance related to COVID, safety, PPE, et cetera, social distancing. And so we're using that to make sure we're matching the right family with the right nanny, because that really has to match up to make this work. Some families are very strict. They're requiring nannies to wear masks. Some families are bringing in an outside service to test once per week, and other families aren't doing any of that. And you know, we're not here to be the judge on what's okay or not. We're recommending that everyone follow the CDC guidelines, but it is really different for each family, as it should be. And it's your home and it's what you're comfortable with. So it's really just finding the right caregiver for you at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I was thinking that too, as you were talking, that it goes both ways. There's definitely, you know, people who want extreme safety, and then there's people who, for whatever their other reasons are, they want it the other way. They want to have it be like nothing's going on.
Most people are somewhere in the middle of that. They want to protect their kids from feeling like things are very different. They want to have that feeling like everything's okay at home, and yet they want to have a really small and careful social circle, including their nanny, that, you know, is being very safe. And you're putting a lot of trust into that caregiver too, that she's also following the rules outside of her work, that she's practicing social distancing, that she's being careful, that she's wearing a mask when she's going out anywhere, or that they are really, you know, taking things to a minimum in terms of just essential grocery shopping, for example.
Right. Yeah. So the next thing I want to ask you is back to budgeting. I have a lot of money questions because I feel like this is just another whole, you know, wrench in the thing where you're already trying to figure out how to pay for a nanny to begin with. And then now this education component has a higher value, and figuring out who you need to hire, who you can hire, how you should choose who you're hiring. So I have three different scenarios for you. And I was just wondering what you would recommend for each kind of archetype of a situation in terms of a family's budget. So, I mean, first of all, let's say you have an unlimited budget, pretty much, you know, that you could have anything you want. You can pretty much make it happen. Who should you hire to, or who all should you hire to staff yourself through COVID?
If you have an unlimited budget, what most families are doing is they're hiring a team of nannies. So what that looks like is we would find probably most likely two amazing nannies, and they would work a rotating schedule. Usually that's 3 days on, 3 days off. And typically the nannies live at the residence during their on time. So what that provides a parent is essentially 24/7 coverage. Now, a lot of people erroneously assume that that is a parent that is not involved with their kids because they have 24/7 coverage. But I'm here to tell you that is absolutely not the case. And most of the families that have that arrangement are actually incredibly involved parents. But they like knowing that they can have flexibility in their life, because if you don't have that, and you want to go on a spontaneous late night sushi date with your husband or your partner, you're having to like dial a bunch of babysitters and see who might be available. Not so for this parent. They can just go on that sushi date. They can have a lot of change in their schedule because they always have someone on the clock that's providing coverage. Wouldn't that be amazing, Mia?
Amazing.
Yes.
Some of us will dream on.
But this family might also have a full-time housekeeper. They might also separately have a private educator that just comes in to do that educational component. And if it's a really large estate, they may also have things like a chef and a butler and an estate manager, definitely a personal assistant, maybe a groundskeeper, security, it goes on and on. You can really spend as much as you want to on staff. But I would say that the team of nannies in a rotating schedule to provide that 7 day, 24/7 coverage is really essential.
So within that whole dream, you are able to, to help staff, you're able to help staff the nanny team and
yes,
possibly
do.
The private educator. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And also most likely the assistant.
Okay.
So
yes, family assistant. I like that term. That's good. Okay, so then let's go to maybe a more moderate budget where they could hire one full-time person or maybe two part-time people. And you're kind of trying to choose, can I get one person to do as much as possible, or should it really be broken out into two smaller jobs? And we're kind of juggling with that.
One full-time person for a number of reasons. One, there are more people that are looking for full-time than there are for part-time, and they tend to be the most qualified. So it's much more likely that you'll get a more qualified candidate. You'll have better choices to choose from. You'll have more choices, which will just make it so that you can really find the right match a lot better. This person is also probably a professional and choosing to have this as a career because they're doing it full time. And a lot of times they'll last longer for that same reason. Like this is what they've chosen to do as their career. And so longevity will really be a factor. So definitely hire full time if you can.
It's hard to find someone in Los Angeles whose full time attention is in the caregiving field. I mean, obviously they exist, but I know just, you know, when you're going through the babysitters, you know, it's LA, they're all actors. It's okay. I'm an actor. Like, well, I get it. But
and by the way, most part-time nannies are, you know, they're either, and that is different. It's funny. It's different depending on what city you live in. Right. But here in Los Angeles, it's, you know, the city that you move to if you want to pursue anything in entertainment, really. So it's actors, models, it's Instagram influencers, really everything. But if you're hiring someone part-time, you have to expect that there's something else that they're working towards. And while they may be amazing and they may love children and can be great, I don't want to dissuade anyone from hiring someone part-time, but the reality is they'll probably move on to something soon because they're working towards another goal. That's not necessarily childcare. And so that can be okay. In fact, the best storytellers ever are people that are actors. I mean, they can be so much fun, but you know, we try to give people the appropriate expectation. This will probably last a year at most.
Yeah.
So you know that going into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then moving on to the, let's say I can only afford part-time help. I can't afford a full-time position person. But maybe I can be flexible. How can I best optimize having a part-time helper?
You know, I don't think there's necessarily a way to optimize it because they're amazing part-time people. We place part-time nannies all the time. It's just having the right expectation that they're pursuing something else. It's likely the arts. It's likely entertainment. If you can have flexibility to cover someone, if they get a big audition, that's great. A lot of times part-timers will last for more like a year and they can be amazing. And if that's what you need, then just know that you may have people coming into your life every year or so, but they can be amazing.
Good things to think about. Yes, we've had some amazing part-time people, but it's definitely one of those like interview questions that I would come at with like, okay, under what circumstances will you totally blow me off? And like, I understand that this is the city of making your dreams happen. And that's why we came here too.
And we really talk to candidates about that because the only candidates we will work with are those that say, no, I put my job first. And we actually ask them, that's one of our questions. Okay, you get a big audition, but you've committed to work. What do you do? And we're looking for the people that say, I have to work. I'm committed to this family and I'm going to go to that. I'll try to see if they can schedule an audition for another time because I've committed to that family. And so there is a give and a take. But that being said, if you can provide that flexibility, then that might shoot you to the top of their list when they're interviewing for jobs.
That's a good point. That's one thing that when my husband and I were looking at first, we kind of had that realization. We were like, okay, we're in Los Angeles. Like there are some really like high profile families here that are going to be looking for the best nannies. And we're just a normal family. So how do we get the best nanny? And what we had to offer was we're flexible.
You can be flexible. A lot of nannies just really want that down to earth family that's going to treat them with a lot of respect and kindness. And if you can do that, then you'll just have just as much chance of getting someone amazing as any other family.
Well, that's encouraging for all us normies in LA. So I also wanted to ask you, so you're a mom yourself now, as you mentioned, and how has that changed how you think about your business or how has that evolved?
Well, I'm a mom to two little boys. My oldest is 3.5 and my youngest is 2.5. So I definitely am in the thick of it right now. And I think that, I mean, we have an incredible nanny and I don't know what we would do without her. You know, a lot of families have family nearby. We don't. None of our family lives nearby. And so she's really become our family here in LA. And my husband and I both have jobs that demand a lot from us. And we just couldn't do it without her and provide our children the life that they have. They have such a magical bond with her, and it's so amazing to watch and to see. I'm so grateful. And I think it has really made me realize just how important the work that we do really is. We're creating these bonds that will last a lifetime and giving our kids these amazing caregivers that they can attach to at an early age is just phenomenal. It's work that matters. And I think the team at Westside Nannies, we really know every day we're forming these relationships that make such an impact on little lives.
Absolutely. Are there any details that you think families should get more specific or more clear on when they're searching for help to fit their family? Like, is there a common thing that you see that people forget to mention or just aren't aware of about themselves, and then it affects the fit with their hire later?
I think families really need to drill down on the exact schedule that they need, because nannies are looking for schedules. And sometimes we'll have a family that tells us they want Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then everyone comes and they say, oh no, it's the weekends. Like, that would be a different person who wants to work weekends.
Right.
So just really being concrete about what you need, and we can help you figure that out if you don't know, but also then sticking to it once you figure it out. That's probably the most common mistake we see.
Yes. I guess full-time schedules, like you said, were probably the most popular, but beyond full-time schedules, what do people look for? What do the employees want? I mean, I think that's something from the parent side. We wonder, we might know what we want, but what do they want?
There are people that want everything, actually. And it's our job at Westside Nannies to make sure we have enough people who want all types of different schedules. I guess I would say that, of course, number one, everyone would want Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Wouldn't we all, right? That's always going to be the ultimate schedule. But we place nannies to work all types of schedules, from 9 to 5s to 12 to 8s to just weekends, to early morning shifts, to overnight shifts for parents that, for example, a nurse that works overnight. So it really, if you're working with an agency, that's a nice piece of it, because we can really help you find exactly what you need.
And are there any things that you would like to tell families that they should be more open-minded about when searching for help? Is there a common concern that people ask about, or a misconception you think people have that you would, I guess, clarify that they
Yes.
should be more open about?
I think a lot of families come in thinking they know exactly what their perfect nanny looks like, and they're pretty specific about that. They may say to us, well, we really need to find someone who's young, because an older person couldn't keep up with my active toddler. And we'll say back to them, with all due respect, let's look for someone not young necessarily, but just someone who's active. Mm-hmm. Because we have nannies in their 50s who are running marathons around some other families who are couch potatoes.
Yeah.
And similarly, a family may say, well, I want someone older because I couldn't even figure anything out when I was in my 20s. So we definitely need someone older. And we'll respond by saying, let's look for someone with wisdom and experience. And that may come in someone that's younger. So really just breaking down those stereotypes, age is just a number, race doesn't matter. I mean, just look for the qualities, look for someone loving, trustworthy, dependable, and be open as to what package that comes in. And we really talk to families about opening up their perspectives and just being open to finding that true great fit. Because if you're so holden to one thing, you might miss this great person that's meant for you.
Thank you so much for your time today. And I know we went over a lot of different things. So before I let you go, remind us again of the full list of all the different types of staffing Westside Nannies helps with and how to best reach you.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Mia. It's been my absolute pleasure. Westside Nannies can help staff full and part-time nannies, private educators, family assistants, and newborn care specialists. And you can reach us at westsidenannies.com. We have an amazing team who would love to speak with you and really just talk to you about exactly your wants and dreams for your nanny and help you find that right fit. You can schedule a time to speak with us, and we'll dedicate that time to making sure we find exactly who you're looking for.
Well, moms, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Katie from Westside Nannies. If you've got more questions or would like to consult with her on your specific needs, you can find her contact info and links at motherbirdla.com/show notes. And if you know someone who needs this information, please be a good mom friend and forward this episode to them right now. Lastly, if this podcast is helpful to you and you want to hear more, like, subscribe, and review it. Every little bit helps take us further towards getting the guests you want to know that you're right here listening to the Motherbird Podcast.